Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Michael's house just sold, the one in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? I think it sold for like $9.6 million or some number like that, if I'm not mistaken. We liked the house. We were interested but possibly doing something with that because of the history in it. How often did you guys hang out in that house, go shooting, basketball, talking, mentally getting ready for the playoffs?
I never shot basketball there. I would train with Michael. I guess the last three championships that we won, we trained together at his house. But other than that, we didn't really put a lot of time in away from basketball. Most of our time was spent, you know, whether we were working out or on the practice floor.
I've got something for you.
Yeah, Scotty never shot hoops over at MJ's house, but they did work out. And that house has been on the market seemingly for forever. Someone did buy it, Speaks, and now they have turned it into an Airbnb.
So I could rent out Michael Jordan's house. Does it come still fitted with some of Michael Jordan's stuff? You know what I mean? Is there a basketball court in the basement?
Yes. Let me give you some of the particulars here. They have photos of the lavish pool, living room, full kitchen, dining area, 7 bedrooms, 15 full bathrooms, 5 half bathrooms.
Oh, what?
The property famously contains an entrance gate with Jordan's iconic number 23 plastered on it.
Left it on there. Smart.
The unit also includes other flashy amenities, including, of course, an indoor court.
You're doing a tremendous job as an Airbnb agent.
Score House.
In the middle of Score Street.
The listing also says, enjoy putting on your professional grade putting on your professional grade putting green. Fishing in your private pond stocked with bass and bluegill.
There's a pond and a pool. Pond would be good for you.
And swimming in your zero entry infinity edge pool.
All right, what's zero entry? I know what infinity edge is.
I have no idea what a zero entry pool is.
Zero entry pool. Anybody like to
guess?
You
pull up to the gates and you're in a pool already. Like, how did this happen? I'm still in my car.
Nobody's allowed to get in it. It's a zero entry pool. Sorry about that.
But
you can't get in it.
There's
it's a beach
more.
Pool.
What is it?
It's a pool with a beach.
Oh.
Where you just like.
What do you mean? Oh,
like,
yeah. There's no steps.
Correct.
You just kind of, yeah, it has a shore. That's not a beach. A beach
has
sand. Yeah. Come on, Alex.
No sand.
There's no sand. There's no shells. But I get it. It's like the shore effect. It's slanted like that. Kind of like a beach.
You're still entering it. I'm sorry.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to enter it.
That's like a partial entry. That's not a zero entry.
It's a full entry.
It really is.
Inside, enjoy your movie theater, commercial gym, cigar lounge,
wine cellar, pool tables,
bars, salon, saltwater aquariums, and full basketball court.
Full basketball court. So not a half court
full.
In the basement. Full.
The Jordan House is a 56,000-foot property.
My God.
He originally valued the property at $29 million after listing it on the market in 2012 before lowering the asking price to $14.855 million in 2015.
Mm. So let me ask you a question. Does it say how big the property is? Like how many acres? We got 56,000 feet on the house. I wonder how many acres are. Because I would, if I had a big pile of property, which I don't, I would build a house that's fairly normal sized so I could do other things on the property. You know what I'm saying?
Speaks.
Walk around.
This estate was built with privacy, security, and luxury in mind. A private oasis on 7.39 acres surrounded by mature pines, fenced and gated.
7.39 acres. You can do whatever you want. You can build as big a house as you want.
Not those immature pines that you have at your house, Speaks.
They are. Those pines that I have at my house, they're always talking back. They don't have any self-discipline at all, you know?
Hurry
they're
up and so get them sloppy. Bar mitzvah.
That already. It's a big year for those immature pines at my house.
And maybe they'll step it up, you know, throw a little responsibility their way.
Yeah, it could be.
And maybe that's what it is.
Those immature pines never show up to produce hit and run on a Sunday morning, let me tell you.
Would you like to know how much it would cost for you to Airbnb this property? Would you like to take a guess?
Yeah, let's absolutely take a guess. First of all, the textures are on it. If they're not calling it Air Jordan B&B, then what are we doing?
That's a good point.
That's a great point. That should be the name of the listing, Air Jordan B&B. He couldn't stop that, could he?
He became personal with me.
Yeah. He probably could stop that.
Is there an entire pizza in the fridge?
Well, look, I don't want to give away free ideas on air, but like we have like a remote there, all of our shows. We do a massive pizza party, invite yes. only with listeners. Yeah.
Yes. Tanny, I'm going to tell you that we can't afford it.
Oh, man.
But well, that's when an angel sponsor comes in, you know, swoops right in. Maybe Eagle Man.
And didn't you see the spring book? I mean, we should be fine. Well, there's Mitch right there. He came in. I know what he's doing. I know his game. He comes in to green light.
He just heard free pizza. He walked in.
No, Mitch. You came in to green light us staying for one show and one night at the Air Jordan B&B.
Well, hold on.
All right, we're guessing how much. Let Mitch guess, too.
Yeah.
How many? Would you say 56,000 square feet?
So look.
On 7.3 acres, Mitch.
To give us an idea, there's two different parts of this that has already been booked for a stay between August 2nd and August 9th.
Okay.
What do you think the value of that stay? How much would you pay? How much would it cost for you to stay a week in Michael Jordan's house?
Oh my God. So now I can't think nightly. Airbnb, I'm used to thinking nightly.
If you wanted to go nightly, we can do that too, because I do have a per day in here.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Think about the per day. Mitch, there's seven bathrooms, 15 full baths. Bedrooms.
Seven bedrooms, 17 and a half bathrooms. 17 and a half.
That's five half bathrooms.
Mitch has 10 grand a day. That's his guess.
Oh, no, it's got to be more than that. I'm going to go with 22 grand a day.
Split the difference. 15,000 per day for that week. And then there's a week of August 29th through Labor Day where it's 17,000. For a week stay, you're talking $105,514.
Well, we only want one day, and we're going to do it around the Scores anniversary in January, so we'll get a nice rate.
Right.
Hochberg's got it.
But remember.
Do they make you stay the whole week, though? Yeah, is it one of those things where you can't just do one day?
Airbnb is not really letting people stay just one day. Right. You usually have to book two or three.
That's ridiculous.
So there you go.
They want to keep the riffraff out.
You know? Sure, so, sure. So imagine look. Calling the next morning like, hey, can I get a late checkout today? Can I get two extra hours? I mean,
and it's actually Michael Jordan you talk to.
You can have a late checkout.
I took that personally.
Robert Chief took a late checkout.
I'd like to know where things are.
They didn't check out on time. I took that personally. Yes, and I sued their ass.
Just an empty pizza box there because he ate the whole pizza. So just the empty box is all you get.
I ate the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats it. Eat the pizza.
I mean, 50 grand all in for 3 days.
50 grand for like a weekend. We do a blowout, some live radio. I mean, maybe they need
Score to, House.
That's what I'm saying, in the middle of Score Street. Maybe Russ Armstrong steps in, you know, get some Chicago windows. Maybe they need new windows on that place.
I don't think they need new windows on this place. I
think they're doing all right.
Yeah, I think they're doing all right.
Yeah, what are we doing? We got Derek. We got Derek at our disposal, so.
it does look like a compound, though.
Where is it? Is this Highland Park?
Or? It is.
All right, so can Derek just open a Circa in Highland Park? At that location, just build a stadium swim on the roof of that thing.
Not a terrible idea.
Right? Let's go. Make it the North Shore playground they've all been waiting for. All those folks up there have been desperate for some fun.
I mean, it has all the things.
All those people up there, they're like, you know what? One thing we've been missing is more EDM. You know, a lot of drunk people in their 20s.
We need a casino up here.
I mean, now we actually need to start looking at the specs. Like, how many acres does Circa sit on? This is 7.39 acres.
Yeah, well, you can build. Can you build up?
I don't know if you're going to build anything else, but when you think about it, it does have like all of the things that Circa has. It's got a theater, a commercial gym, a cigar lounge, a wine cellar, pool tables, bars, salon.
You're getting your Vanna
saltwater
White.
Aquarium, yeah. Vanna Black, and a full basketball court.
You're Vanna Black. That's who you are right now.
And the zero entry infinity edge pool, which we have no idea what that means.
I think we figured that out. It's actually a full entry pool, but they call it zero entry because
yeah, it makes no sense.
Rich designers are stupid.
Yeah, the texter here is saying the cleaning fees might get us.
Oh man,
the Airbnb cleaning fees that might get us.
You know what my wife does, because she wants to make things easier for the cleaning people. She's going around taking off all the sheets. Like
I do that.
Do you do that at the end of a stay?
Yeah,
the Airbnb.
Throw the sheets on the towels on the floor. Do the dishes.
Yeah. See, maybe I'm just an entitled white man, because I feel like I'm
paying.
You're right.
I feel like I'm paying for other people to do that. That's part of my fee that I'm paying, is that I don't have to do that, because home I have to do that, and I don't like doing that.
Well, I mean, you don't have to do all of it. Like I
don't want to do any of it.
But loading the dishwasher is not that big a deal.
No,
to
I don't.
Me.
I don't mind loading the dishwasher.
See, there you go. But
yeah, most places ask you to take all the sheets off the beds.
They do.
But like I've been in a summer, it's like, hey, if you can take the garbage down, like wait a minute, you need an oil change in your car too. Like, what else you want me to do for you here?
I did clean
the 17 and a half bathrooms.
Yeah,
there was
just 16 and a half of them. Leave one uncleaned.
An Airbnb in Phoenix that I love staying in, and I was like, you guys got some deliveries? Like, I came back and there were some deliveries from Amazon. I'm like, what do you want me to do with them? And they're like, hey, can you put them in blah, blah, blah? Yeah. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Not a problem at all.
Wait a minute. I'm not related to you. I'm not your buddy crashing here. The hell, man!
I felt it was a nice thing to do, instead of just leaving the deliveries out on the porch and having them come by. Here, I'll just put them in a place that I'm not going to use.
So if you want, Airbnb will hook you up with a celeb-hosted experience where you stay at the homes with some people who are there with their homes. Megan Thee Stallion. You could stay at Megan Thee Stallion's place.
They don't want to let me do that.
No. And then there's other homes that are just there. Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
I don't think you want anything to do with that right now.
How about Leonardo DiCaprio's house?
I think that would actually be a lot of fun.
I like the Sonny and Cher house, which is... You know, it's like a...
Yeah, and I know she's pretty young.
She really is. She really is. So that one looks good. And then I found this...
I can't remember if Leonardo DiCaprio DJed Q-Tip's birthday party or Q-Tip DJed Leonardo DiCaprio's birthday party.
Hmm.
Or might be both.
Yeah, Ray and I are in agreement. There's one that definitely it should be out of those two combinations, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Tanny, I found it for you.
Oh, here we go, Jim.
It's in Staten Island.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. I'm in. Yeah. I'm going Monday to see the Woo. They're at United Center with Run the Jewels. I'm going.
Mm-hmm. $2,000 a night. Guests who would like a taste of cinematic history and opulence.
Danny Parkins.
Can stay with Danny Parkins. No, he's coming up, by the way, at 4 o'clock. He can stay in the Godfather Mansion.
I've seen this.
As once inhabited by Marlon Brando as Don Vito Corleone. So, yes, you can stay there. You can stay in the Godfather Mansion. We need to get this as a gift for Chris Tannehill and family. Juju, honey, let's go. Come on in. Sit
trying
over
to explain
here.
Godfather to my 11-year-old daughter. Yes, it's this great scene. They cut a horse's head off and they put it in the bed with the guy.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
Hey, there's a party going on in the back. We got a singer out there and everything. He's got to come over. I'm going to talk with him over in this room. Just leave it to me. I'll take care of it.
If you're someone who is getting the Jordan Airbnb, you're doing it spring, summer, right? Like, You're not coming here in January or February, are you?
That's when the Score's anniversary is. So.
Although I guess you could do like a Bulls theme thing and you're staying at Jordan's house and you're also driving your Ferrari 95 miles per hour on the shoulder to get there on time, like Jordan was back in the day.
You bring six of your buddies. You each use 2.5 bathrooms and you have a
hey
good
man,
time.
That's a quality number of bathrooms. Makes me feel safe. It's
too many damn bathrooms.
No, it's never enough.
What are you going? Oh, I know what this is about.
What?
This is all to distract us
from
the fact that you're not making your holiday weekend trip that you were talking about.
I still might.
You're not going.
Why can't I book a flight tomorrow morning?
You're
and
toying
go?
With us. For those
the
who don't
chase for the chase for disgrace.
The Colorado Rockies are trying to hunt down last year's White Sox for the worst record in baseball.
They're playing right now.
And they're going to play each other this weekend. And Lawrence was going to go chase down the chase for disgrace. And Tanny, he made it seem like it was a done deal. He sold us on the idea.
I never made it seem like it was a done deal.
Is it because your buddy Jason Leisure's in the Tetons right now? Is that what's going on?
He sent me some pictures from the trip. It looks like a completely different planet up there. Like so some of the natural beauty of that area, yeah, it looks like he landed on Mars.
Telling you, man. Well, that's the thing. Like what Jim Morrison sang it, the West is the best. It really is the best.
Lawrence, you better get on it, man. The fireworks are tomorrow, and you can see the City Connect jerseys tomorrow, so you better get on
tomorrow's
it if you want to
day.
See this stuff.
Yeah, but man, I remember one time, Lawrence, I was on a road trip from California back to Chicago when I moved back, and we took only the scenic routes. We're like, you know what, let's not do the highway. Let's take our time. We had a few extra days, and Highway 12 in southern Utah, what reminded me was you saying it looks like Mars. On Highway 12 going through southern Utah, after we went to, was it Bryce Canyon or Zion? I forget which one we went to. But Highway 12, we stopped at every single scenic lookout. Every single time it said, hey, scenic lookout. We're like, yep, let's do that one.
That sounds outstanding.
Because every one, it looked like a different environment. Like it looked like Mars. And then it looked like it looked like these crazy like moon mountains. And then after a while at one point we're like halfway up in a forest and it's kind of snowing a little
bit. This is what I try to tell people about Arizona, that the 2-hour drive from Phoenix to Flagstaff, you will go through that. If you take I-17 up the mountain, you go from like browns and a little bit of red in the Phoenix area. And then you're like, all right, well, let's keep going. And then you get to Sedona and you're like, ooh, this is red and orange.
Yeah, it's beautiful
yellow
there. Totally.
And then you go another 30 miles and you get to Flagstaff and you're like, am I in the same state? Because it's pine trees and green and
all of it. And it keeps going. Like that northern Arizona, like southern Colorado, southern Utah, that part of the West, it's like nothing you've ever seen. Folks, if you haven't been out there, find a reason to drive there. Just make the trip. Stay at a cheap hotel along the way and let yourself see the beauty of this country. My God.
I saw a reel last night where the young lady took the train from here to California, and she was talking about that, and I was like, the train from here to California might not be my thing. And then she got to the end of the reel and she's like, you know what you could do is you could fly to Denver and then take the train. You can catch the train in Denver, pick it up, because that's probably like the more scenic part of the trip is Denver to California. And I was like, that actually makes a lot of sense. I'm kind of digging the whole concept of train rides lately. Mm-hmm. Like the train ride that I took from Montreal to Quebec and then Quebec back to Montreal, I was like, I really enjoy this. This is 3 hours, perfect train ride. And even just the metro stop that I took when I went to go get the new car. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, there's so many cute downtowns that in the western burbs that I've never hung out in. And you see them and you're like, man, this is actually kind of fun to just kind of hop in and hop out and check out some of these places that we got going on here.
Yeah, there's some rides. I would love to do the train ride up the West Coast, like to get up towards Vancouver.
Have you ever done California 1?
Yes. Yes, Big Sur and everything out there, like between San Francisco and L.A., is unbelievable.
Well, I'm told, I've never made this drive, but it is on my list of things. Speaking of being out west, I-8 connects Phoenix to San Diego. Instead of going like up or down and around, you go straight through I-8. And if you pick up I-8 like south of I believe the city is Eloy, to tell you the truth. That's the name of the city. That's where you pick up I-8 and you take that to San
city
Diego.
City used to be very good. Yeah. It used to be very good, promising city.
But that city just doesn't try very hard, though.
It doesn't.
And it's always breaking down. Certain parts of it, like the utilities, just always breaking down. Some of it seems like its own fault, you know?
I agree. Have to take some sort of blame for it. Yeah. Personal responsibility.
This is a lot of these are a lot of good ideas for Mitch at this point for Scorehouse.
And a long way around Lawrence not having to talk about whether or not he's going to Colorado.
He's
or not
going.
I still might.
He got us excited, and now even now
I got
I still
a whole,
might.
I got a whole weekend.
$1,000 says you're not going.
But the, really?
No,
that would pay for the whole trip.
I'd take it back, Alex.
Nice one, Speaks.
Alex, you just got $1 million.
Hold on, you're on your own.
Hold
on,
let me get on the Southwest app right now.
Uh huh.
I thought, but the choice I made was I'm going to NBA Summer League.
Yeah, but that's why you're not going. But now you're still saying you're going because you want to keep hope alive or something. I don't know what the hell you're doing.
And then I'm going to Big Ten Media Days.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. That's fine. But you're not going on this one.
I feel like I'm going to two more important sports things.
How dare you?
Than White Sox Rockies.
How dare you?
I do have an affinity for Coors Field, though. I like it very much, even though it's like the oldest of the recent ballparks. It's a fun place.
All right, speaking of fun.
You can have a good time. I might go.
Speaking of fun, it's about time that a real host of categories.
But I might.
Stepped in to get it done. After the money laundering and doping scandal that brought down Alex Kuhn. He was doing money laundering so he could dope.
Some say it was when he did the top 10 car dealerships that should give him a car. I said, this is not something you can do on the air. And he did it anyway.
He's referencing all these old sponsors. Like Heavenly Bodies burned down years ago. What the hell? And he just keep mentioning it. The money laundering and doping scandal that led to the disgrace of Alex Kuhn means that I'm hosting categories again. Let's go.
It's next here on The Score.
Heavenly Bodies.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is categories. And we're going to play it every damn week.
Yeah, we are. Thursdays, we play it. Two sports categories, one non-sports category, inspired by the goings-on of the week. And you, dear listener out there driving in the cubicle or wherever, you get to play along. The guys have to name a person or thing on the category list. If you miss one, you're gone. We keep rolling around. All right, you ready? Hold on, waiting. Lawrence is going over there to get a pen or a marker.
Yeah, sometimes
of some
I like
sort.
To write stuff down so that I can remember.
Tom Hamilton has been the voice of Cleveland baseball for 35 years. An absolute treasure. He was on the show the other day. We had a great time talking to him. And he said that Jose Ramirez was the smartest player he has ever seen in Cleveland in 35 years. Well, of everybody who has played a season in Cleveland since 1990, he's also the best. I have in front of me the top 50 position players in the history of Cleveland baseball, but there are 22 of them that have played for either the Indians or the Guardians since 1990. These are Cleveland position players since 1990. Jose Ramirez is number one on the list. There are 21 others. Lawrence Holmes, give me a Cleveland position player who's on this list.
Carlos Baerga.
Carlos Baerga, absolutely. 19.7 wins above replacement. He's number 36 of 50. Tanny.
Omar Vizquel.
Number 17 of 50. 30.2 wins above replacement. Alex.
Albert Bell.
Albert Bell, number 24 on the list with 27.4 WAR. Lawrence.
Kenny Lofton.
Is number 6, 48.6. He is just behind Jose Ramirez on this list. Tanny.
Jim Thome.
Number 7 on the list with 48 wins above replacement. These are the best Cleveland ball players since 1990. Alex.
Manny Ramirez.
Number 18 on the list with 30 wins above replacement. Lawrence.
Sandy Alomar.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Picked the wrong one.
I do not have a Sandy Alomar for you on
Damn
the
it.
Top 50. I'm sorry. Good run in the category. Two people left. Tanny.
Well, here comes the run on Alomar's, although I am nervous that he wasn't there long enough. Yeah, but I'm just going to say because he's one of the best players I ever saw, Roberto Alomar.
20.3 wins above replacement. In Cleveland alone, he's number 34. I don't have his full stats here, but he played enough to get on this list. Alex.
CC Sabathia.
I know these are position players.
Duh. Oh.
Yeah, there was a lot of nice confidence in your tone there on that one, though. That sounded very good.
Now we see why you're disgraced.
Yeah.
Position player, Cleveland.
Grady Sizemore.
Number 23. Oh! Number 23 on the list at 27.7 wins above replacement. Tanny.
Travis Hafner. Prong.
Oh, let's go! I do not have.
Good. I want to get this over Hafner. With. I'm really excited about this next segment.
Oh, this, come on. This was good.
It is very good.
All right, Alex, you got one more for the win?
I mean, you're getting the win anyway. Yeah. Make a guess.
Go ahead. Do Danny, this is a kind of a long delay. This is unfortunate.
Tony Fernandez. Wow, was he there long enough?
No. That's right. We'll give you the win. Carlos Santana is on the list. Francisco Lindor, folks. Michael Brantley. Shin-Soo Chu. Asdrubal Cabrera. Jason, can I get a Kipnis? Victor Martinez. Julio Franco. Andres Jimenez. Stephen Kwan.
I was going to guess Stephen Kwan.
Stephen Kwan. Casey Blake. Brooke Jacoby. And Jahani Peralta completes the list.
Next category.
The Knicks have hired Mike Brown. This category is simple. Who are the head coaches in the National Basketball Association?
I got no shot.
I've got all of them right here in front of me. Any head coach currently in the NBA not named Mike Brown? Tanny, you get to go first.
My guy, Billy Donovan.
Is, of course, the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. Alex.
J.J. Redick.
J.J. Redick is the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Lawrence.
Eric Spoelstra.
Is the coach in Miami. That is correct. Tanny.
Rick Carlisle.
Is the coach. Coach in Indiana, Alex.
A J.B. Bickerstaff.
Is the coach in Detroit.
You're going to win this, Alex.
I don't think so.
Lawrence.
Mark Dagno.
Mark Dagno is the Oklahoma City Thunder champion coach. Tanny.
God, who is the former Bucks coach that looks like Bart Winkler?
Bart Winkler is not on
the
list.
Yeah, I'm out.
Here's out. Tanny's out. Other coaches in the NBA, Alex.
Are you talking about Mike Budenholzer?
I was. Is he coaching anymore? Is he still coaching?
Coach Bud does look like Bart Winkler. He's not in there. Alex, give me an actual coach. Well,
that was my guess.
Oh, really? Don't say that. Don't say that.
No, that wasn't your guess. Go ahead.
All right.
Maybe it was your guess. You out?
Tyronn Lue.
Tyronn Lue is, yes, the coach of the Clippers. Lawrence.
Ime Udoka.
Is the coach of the Rockets. Alex. Do-da-ba-da-ba-ba-do-ba-da. In 3, 2, and 1. Lawrence, one more.
I can see his name, and I know that he went to college with Bernstein. The Hawks coach.
Quinn Snyder.
Quinn Snyder.
I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
There's many. Jason Kidd. Steve Kerr. Doc Rivers. You know? Nick Nurse. Chauncey Billups. And several. But there you go. Good run on the category. All right. In honor of F1 the movie, I've looked up on IMDb.
How dare you?
These are the best. I told you I like that app. The best auto and car racing movies of all time, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Using the Tomatometer ratings, these are the best auto and car racing movies of all time. F1 the movie is number 4, according to the Tomatometer, whatever it is. Alex, you got another one. I will say, these include documentaries and children's movies. Okay?
Oh.
Cars.
Alex, Cars is
that
number...
That is what we're talking about, yes.
Yeah, Cars. Oh, is that your guess? Alex, Cars is number 6. Yes. Lawrence.
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder is number 39, according to the Tomatometer. Tanny.
Cars 2.
Amazingly enough, Cars 2 didn't make the list.
It should have.
I'm
actually
so
that's
sad.
The one I took my daughter to see when she was little.
Is it bad?
And she was like 3 or 4. She looked up at the screen and said, "Bye, movie," and then we left.
Oh, yeah, that lets you know. I'll let you know.
Oh, bye, movie. Yeah, I love that. Bye, bye, movie. Alex.
Fast and Furious.
Which one?
The original.
The Fast and the Furious is yes. The Fast and the Furious is number 32. Lawrence.
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights, number 7. Very nice. Alex.
Too Fast and Too Furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious is number 40 on the list. Lawrence.
Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Damn right. Number 38. I haven't seen any of those movies, but that's number 38. Alex.
The Fastest and the Furious. I'm out.
You're out?
Yeah. It took Talladega Nights, and that's the last racing movie I know.
Lawrence, any others?
Fast Five.
No, there is no Fast Five. The only other one left from that is Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Which is different than the Fast and the Furious.
The Fast and the Furious is the original, and I think Fast and Furious is the one where...
I don't know. I remember...
I'm confused. Is that Fast 7?
My favorite
thing... No,
that's
the Fate of the Furious.
I think it was Fast 7 that had the tagline, "The end of the road begins."
Yes.
Which is an incredible tagline. We're not done. We're just saying the end of the road is starting here. All right, that's your old... I mean, there's a lot of... Senna is an amazing documentary, and that's number one. Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh,
was great. Logan Lucky, Rush, Grand Prix, Death Race 2000, Death Race 2050. Herbie the Love Bug gets a mention here.
Is the Transporter on the list?
It is. The Transporter is on the list.
Okay.
I think it is. Yeah. Trading Paint, Driven, Stroker Ace. Back in the day.
What about the Italian Job?
The Italian Job, I think.
Because that was like America's introduction to the Mini Cooper.
What'd you say, Alex? That was your nickname in high school? Stroker Ace? All right.
Gran Turismo, Schumacher, One Fast Move, Speed Racer from a few years back, and several others.
Is Ready Player One on the list?
No, not considered a racing movie, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Car, auto, and car racing movies. There they are. The winner of categories, by my count, is, of course, the listener. Do we have a winner? Because Lawrence didn't really win, but Alex...
I mean, I won.
I think you won.
Yeah.
Lawrence, I think you got it. Lawrence, congrats.
I
winner.
Had two categories today.
Now, can I actually ask a question?
Yes.
Am I lifetime banned from hosting categories?
I mean, it depends.
Do I have to go in front of the board?
We can take it up with the committee.
I mean, the disgrace, it lasts a while. But here in America, I think we like... When people come back from disgrace.
We do.
We're still tearing you down, though. So we like that more than anything in America is the tear down.
We really
do. We're in the middle of that. So let's be patient.
And the text is right. Fast and Furious is the first movie where Vin and Brian get back into the series together.
Okay.
Because there's the first movie, then there's Too Fast, Too Furious, which has Brian but not Dom. Then there's Tokyo Drift, which is...
Who the hell cares?
Tokyo Drift, which kind of has Dom in it and doesn't have Brian in it.
Yeah, whoa.
And it's actually number five in the sixth in the series, but it was released third.
When are we breaking?
And then Fast and Furious is when Dom and Brian get back together for a heist.
Don't you guys do commercial?
We do.
We do. All right, good.
Apparently someone else is going to have some thoughts on... What's cool and what's a cool show?
Really?
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing here.
I'm unhip to that.
Yeah, well, we're going to get hip to it next here on The Score.
Red Rum! Red Rum! Red Rum!
Danny, what's the matter, hon?
Red Rum!
You having a bad dream? Danny?
Torrance. Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Well, that is ominous and scary and one of the scariest movies of all time. And we found out that one of our friends has a connection to it. And so we thought that we would share my guy, Chucky G. Chuck Garfine, HF's finest broadcaster that the high school has produced. I don't know if you heard about this, Speaks, but...
He was a child actor, right?
Yeah, Chucky G could have been infamous, and he could have been a star, he explains.
The poll question was this: what horror movie did Chuck audition for? Was it Pet Sematary, Friday the 13th Part 2, The Shining, or Halloween? Well, believe it or not, the answer is... The Shining. Tell me about it. I auditioned for the Stanley Kubrick film with Jack Nicholson. I auditioned to be Jack Nicholson's son I was 4 years old. That could have been me. That could have been me.
I where's your
Red
truck?
Rum, Red
they,
Rum.
They recorded you, no? Do you do that scene to see who did the best?
So why don't we hear from my mom?
Yes, that'd be a great idea for that.
It was my mom's idea for me to audition for that role, and I had a chance to talk with her earlier today about it, roll tape.
Dad and I didn't know what The Shining was all about. There was an article in the Tribune requesting boys age like 4 to 5, and I said, gee, that sounds something that Chuck would really enjoy because he had such a vivid imagination and you were such a precocious child and you would wear costumes and entertain the family and your friends. Your dad took you to the audition. And do you remember anything about the audition?
I do remember going. There was a man and a woman in there. And they asked me if I could tell a joke. And I knew one joke. It was from a Dixie cup. And it said, what did the TV say to the man? And the answer was, you really turned me on.
That's a very funny joke.
Wow. I had no idea. That's fascinating. I'm not surprised that our friend Chuck Garfine was a talented kid, and I could see him going to auditions. It's always the mom.
So in the Chicago newspaper, they were looking for a child with a dialect somewhere in between, like an accent somewhere in between Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall. So they're looking for like a Midwestern sort of thing, not East Coast or Super West Coast. So they were looking for something in between. So that's why Chicago auditions were held.
Yeah, so the kid who ended up playing him, a guy named Danny Lloyd, was born in Tremont, Illinois. So, yeah, so that's why they did the auditions out here.
And he killed it. I don't know if Chuck would have ad-libbed, like, the whole thing where Danny's talking to the voice Tony that lives inside of him, like, oh, where he moves his finger while he's doing the voice. That was ad-libbed. That was improv by little young Danny Lloyd.
Horrifying. Absolutely.
Garfine's not doing that.
My dad took me to see The Shining in the movie theater. I was
How old were you?
I don't know. When did the movie come out?
You and 1980? You and Chuck are around the same age,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So,
oh my God,
1980. Yeah, I was 10. That was a bad choice.
That's
my dad.
Terrible choice.
It's an awesome choice. Long live Herb.
It's a terrible choice. We do miss Herb. Mm. Did you audition for something?
So my mom wanted me to be a little star. I was the fifth kid, and my mom.
So there was emphasis on music for sure.
Music and acting, and like everybody was in stuff. I was a little theater kid, and a singer, and she like. She said, do you want to go on some auditions? Because I know some people. So she knew an agent in New York City. And
New York City?
We drove into New York a few times for auditions when I was like 10 and 11 and 12. And I auditioned for Meatballs 2.
What?
I auditioned for two movies. One was Meatballs 2 and the other was Stand By Me.
Not the secret knock.
I forget the secret knock. Let me in.
Oh, man, you guys are not going to believe this. This is so boss. Oh, man, wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this. You won't believe it. It's unbelievable.
You guys want to go see a dead body?
I think I was too big. I was too old. Like, I was already too big, but I auditioned for Vern. Auditioned for all I remembered, it was like the chubby kid in Stand By Me.
You could have worked with Will Wheaton?
Yeah, I guess so. River Phoenix.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman. But yeah, I remember I was freaked out.
Now Corey Feldman could work for you.
Well, now you could have been hanging with Michael Jackson. You're this close to being one of Michael Jackson's friends.
I didn't really like going to do that stuff. I was terrified. It was mom who was driving the bus on that stuff.
Well, she wanted a star. She got one, baby.
Oh, look at you. Huh? She wanted a little star.
So what do you remember about like being in the room or... you have to tell a joke like Chuck E. G?
No, I don't remember having to tell a joke. I remember that there was like, I just remember there was like a long table with a bunch of different casting people or otherwise there were no other kids. There was a bunch of kids out in the waiting room. I remember a bunch of kids out in the waiting room and talking to a couple of kids, but I didn't have to wait long for something because she drove me there after school. Like, it was like,
oh, so you were not like in the mood at all
she drove me there, and I had already done the Meatballs 2 one and like another commercial one that I didn't like, and I wanted to get off that carousel.
That train.
I was not in a good place. So yeah, but she drove me into New York, and I remember being in there with some kids and like reading some lines and just seeing that it was Stand By Me. And I hadn't read the Stephen King, the novellas, because I read it after that, because it's based on The Body from different seasons, which is like one of my favorite Stephen King books, but I hadn't even read it at that point.
They're doing a new version of Running Man, and it's a little bit truer to the novella. And the guy who everyone is like, he is so good looking. The one who was in Top Gun. Why am I blanking on his name? Glenn something or other?
Perkins.
No.
Yeah, Glenn. Yeah. It is Glenn Perkins.
Is it Glenn Perkins?
Yeah.
He's going to be that character.
The running man.
Yeah, he's going to be the running man.
Speaks, you mentioned
Coleman
to
DeMingo,
me.
I think, too.
I don't know if this was off air, an email about.
Oh, yeah. Because I ended up, when I was in L.A., I was in a fantasy football league with some people because my buddy was in reality TV at the time. And he had
Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell.
Yeah, Glenn Perkins was the Twins closer. That's
baseball, right?
That's awesome. That's our brains in action. Because I was sure it was Glenn Perkins. I was the left-handed reliever, Glenn Perkins.
Twin saves leaders coming up next week. Yeah.
I was in a fantasy football league with Jerry O'Connell, who played the kid in Stand By Me. And I told him in an email, because we're like fantasy football guys. I couldn't find the email, Teddy. I looked for it. But I told him in an email, yeah, you know, my mom drove me into the city for some auditions. I auditioned for that part. And he's like, all right, cool. All right, see you around. You know, like there was nothing. he didn't care.
He didn't care at
all. No, Jerry didn't care. Why should he? It's Jerry freaking O'Connell. He was married to Rebecca Romijn at the time.
Still is, right?
He still is?
I don't know, but you know, she's doing great on Star Trek, by the way.
Is she?
Yeah.
All right, so there you go.
She's number one.
So I got to talk to Chucky G about being.
I would love to. Yeah, I know Chucky G was four, but just the idea of little Chuck Garfine being in the room with probably Kubrick himself, or at the very least Leon Vitali, his like creative partner.
Let's do this next week. Let's ask Chucky G to be on the show,
and
we talk a little bit of White Sox. We can talk about Chuck and Ozzy After Dark, and talk about the shared interest in acting
that our moms had.
Did you guys do any of that stuff?
No, absolutely not.
Alex, when you were younger, were you doing auditions or
no.
is there going to be like a commercial that pops up for you years from now?
Nope.
Alex was the kid from the Life cereal commercial.
That's where I recognize him.
He likes it.
I did one photo shoot for the JCC one time with my grandpa. That was it.
Wait, what? Okay, what went into that photo shoot?
They're just me taking a bunch of pictures with my grandpa.
Oh, that's
that
nice.
Was pretty much think it. Of it. I did take a bunch of pictures in the back of a bicycle shop back in the day.
That was not you. That was Dudley.
Oh, God.
On a very special episode of Different Strokes.
A very special episode of Spiegel and Holmes. That's what this is.
Gordon Jump, man. Terrified. I'm supposed to be laughing at the guy, and then
all of a
then
sudden
I see him like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was the thing. It turned quickly. It was like, I am not ready for this. You gotta warn somebody.
You know what I forgot was WKRP was a really great show overall. That scene with Venus Flytrap and Gordon Jump's character where he was a deserter, that the whole Venus Flytrap thing was he had to change his name because he deserted after coming back from Nam.
Wow, I don't remember that.
It's such a powerful scene, man. It's so, I'm like, oh my God. Like
I'm feeling things.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't remember this from when I was a kid. And now like you look back on, you go, this is edgy,
man.
For 80s television. Talking about Nam like that, it was really edgy. Anyway.
You know who else deserted? He deserted the score so he could go and be a TV star in New York.
Wow. Danny Parkins is going to talk with us about all sorts of stuff next here on The Score.